Hi listeners at Movie Break, we are here in Locarno and have another interview for you. This time it's a historical movie, it's called Mexico 86, and I'm here with the director Cesar Diaz. Hi Cesar.
Hi.
And this is your second movie, and while it's called Mexico 86 and the main plot plays in Mexico in the year 86, it's about a person who is from Guatemala, and you're yourself Belgian Guatemalan. And it strongly deals with the time of terror in state terror in Guatemala, and state suppression and the violence. So how was it for you to go back to these historic stories?
The thing is, I think in Guatemala this recent past is still very present, actually. Not only because of the consequences of the war, because of my generation is still talking about, thinking about this period, because it was a very important period for our lives and for the country, of course. So it wasn't very hard to go back, but for me it was also a way to remind Mexico that it was a safe place, you know. At some point there was not only Guatemalans there, but people from Argentina, Chile and many other places that have been persecuted, and then they went on exile in Mexico, and this country was very, very open. And I think it's good to remind that sometimes we need that kind of places, and Mexico, it's not anymore that country, so yeah.
It's also a bit strange to see Mexico as a place of refuge, because you know that many people also often for economical reasons are fleeing from Mexico. And it's a strange coincidence to have these parallels. But also your story deals with a mother who's also a freedom fighter in Guatemala, and then after her husband and father of a child is murdered, she has to flee to Mexico, and after 10 years she's reunited with her kid. How did you approach that story, which is very female-centered?
For me, the thing is to explore this mother and son relationship, and then how to build this relationship, not for biological reasons. But for me, your mother is the one that take care of you, and then you spend time with you. So for the important thing is to how to put these two characters together, that they have to learn how to love each other, to learn how to leave each other. And I approach it because I think the context of the characters only allowed me to tense their relationship. So they have to leave, and then they have to live together, and in this context they are not living in a very peaceful way. So this is why I think it's important to have this dictatorship and this exile context around the characters, and also I think I also choose to tell the story from the mother side, because if you tell the story from the child side, you will judge this woman. You will say, wait a second, just take care of the kid, be a mother, and then continue with your life. You will never understand her dilemma. And her dilemma is how to be a mother and how to be a freedom fighter and a revolutionary woman at the same time. I think there's a contradiction there, because she's fighting for her son, and at the same time this engagement doesn't allow her to live with him. So this is why I think things became interesting when they are complex and some density.
It definitely is, especially because this kind of decision, and also I want to cite the freedom that you give this character to fight for her country and protect her son, by the way that she says, I build a future for him, but I build also the place where the future can happen, because how can the son be safe in an unsafe regime?
Yeah.
This is often only given to men, and it's very unusual actually in a movie, and that was something that resonated very strongly with me, to see a woman being allowed to do the same things and fight the same battles as often in movies men only fight. Because that's the idea, nämlich just what you said, that the idea is often, okay, the man can go out and fight or have great goals, but the woman always first has to think of her kids. That's how women are.
Yeah, yeah. And actually in my own experience, for example, in my generation of the people that went on exile, the man will never even think about who will take care of the kids. They just have this beautiful idea and then this beautiful commitment to this revolutionary movement, and then they went away. And without taking care of anyone, you know, just thinking of themselves, because they, and the women, they have to think, who's going to take care of the children, you know? So this is how I think this is, I want to talk about also motherhood, because if you just put this in a different context, you will say, okay, there's some women that would like to have this beautiful career, you know, and then at the same time being a mother. So, and they are allowed, and then they have the right to do it, and then they don't have to choose. This is my point.
Yeah. And this woman is very strongly played and impersonated by Berenice Bejo. And how did you find her and cast her in that role?
Actually, I watch La Quietude. It's a Pablo Trapero movie. And then I didn't know that she was Argentinian, because I used to see her as a French actress, you know? And then I discovered that she speaks Spanish, and then she was from Argentina, and then when I start digging, I realized that she came in France because of the dictatorship. And I said, ah, okay, this is interesting, because somehow there's some kinds of echo on her own history. And it was, actually, I remember the first time we met, we didn't talk about the film, we talked about our lives, actually. How she went away from Argentina, how I went away from Mexico, and then our relationship, because I think the children of the exile, or the children of the revolutionary, they live in this huge amount of secrets and lies, and because they try to protect us, not saying the truth, and then they try to keep us away from the movement, but at the same time they don't have the choice. So it was very strong to meet Berenice, and then to get together, and then realize that how our lives, even being so different, was close in a very deep way.
Did you develop the character together, or was the character already fully formed?
No, it was fully formed, and then she did an amazing job playing or building this character that it seems sometimes cold, sometimes very disciplined, this very, very, very tough, at the same time having this movement, these moments of freedom, of this moment that she can allowed her to feel, and then to cry, and then to let her feelings come. So I remember at sometime of the movie I was editing, and we have like this version that she was only tough, you know, and I think when you have a character that it's always in the same mood or in the same way, you don't connect to them. You need to, I mean, you need to see also the griefs, you know, so, and then you can connect, then you can put yourself at her place. And then I start just bringing back all that scenes that, but yeah, at the beginning we think, or we build this character, this tough character, you know?
Interesting interesting thing is, even though the story is very strongly connected to an extremely violent history, and also this violent persecution of the freedom fighters and the freedom fighters themselves sometimes having to resort to violence, we don't see so much of the violence happening, but we feel it very strongly. So how did you make that decision that you said, no, I don't want this to be an action movie or like with explosions all the time, but a very condensed drama that still has this constant threat where you think violence could break out any moment?
That was a challenge, actually. That even the action scenes, if you analyze it, it has like very specific language. We never, for example, I never want to get the camera away from the car, for example. I stay in the car all the time. And then at some point they start just to propose me that this Russian armor to go around the car and then gonna... And I said, no, this is not the film. This is not the language. We are developing a very a strong movie about the journey. And then if you start just making these fireworks, we will lose it. We need to follow her journey. And the only way to follow her is being with her. And then this is the reason we stay with her all the time. And even in the action scenes. And the other thing is, building a movie like where the danger can come at any time and allow the audience also to imagine this horror, it's important because for example, the scene when the chief comes to her and then say when they start just taking away the nails of the kid, the camera, they start talking. If I show this scene, it will be awful, of course. But if I told you, you will imagine it. And your imagination, it's stronger than any image I can make. So this is, I think, also, this was also the challenge, you know? To allow to put the audience in the middle of the story with me and with these women, and then follow her journey.
The movie also takes us so strongly back into time because the setting and the scenery is great. Like, it doesn't feel like overly picturesque, but still you really have the feeling you're like in the 80s and this is how it could have looked there. Like, I've never been to South America, so I cannot tell if it did look like that, but it definitely feels real. So did you find those settings or did you create them?
We created them. We found, in Mexico, we really spot like a very iconic places, and then we made it. We made it, I mean, we were many managed to film there. And then all the interiors, we made an amazing job with our director. With Pilar Peredo, and then she's amazing, just taking care of every detail. And then we have like a very specific references about the color, about the texture, about the way that people talk at that time. The reference, we worked with the reference with the actors, which was the movies, the music, the literature, the magazine. It's a real magazine. And then they allowed us to use their paper, I mean their image. So we try to make it as much as realistic as we can, and then again to put the audience at that time, at that precise time.
And did you also go into the files about the Guatemalan victims of torture and those who disappeared and were basically murdered? Did you also go into that, or was that already completely familiar to you?
No, it was completely familiar because much of them are very close friends. I mean, fathers of the close friends. Other important thing is the document that we used, it's a real document. It was found by an American anthropologist, and she's like the guardian of this document, which is the Book of the Dead, actually. And it's kept in the States, in the Washington University. And we worked very close with her, also just to recreate the Book of the Dead without using the real images, because to protect the the privacy and the intimacy of the real victims, you know. So we recreated, but in a very, very close. I mean, if you take the boat, you won't see which is the real and which is the prop actually. And for me, it's important because I think also the book in the Guatemalan imaginary, it's very important because it was the proof that the government was using all the state power, all the state archives, all the state activities to repress the population actually.
And this movie also has like a very strong, I think, biographical link, if I'm right.
Yes.
And was it, do you want to talk about this a little? And was it hard to get all those emotions back? Or did it help you?
It helped me to understand the characters and to talk to with the actors, you know, because you have to, I always said you have to feed the actors, you know, with images, with stories, with feelings, with... and then that really helps. And then I tried to take some distance because sometimes I was very moved of the scene, and I have to think: do I am moved because I am remembering something, or it is because something is really happening on the scene, you know? And it was kind of difficult, but I think at the end, I have a very strong team around me, and then also we are very transparent with Berenice, and then sometimes we think like, okay, I was very touched, but can we do it again, because okay, maybe it was not good enough for some other reason, you know. Yeah, and also my life is not as adventures of like Marco's life. I mean, when I came to live in Mexico, the war was almost finished, and then my mother wasn't in the organization anymore.
But is the kid main character, who's also then a little boy, like you once were a little boy, where he's not so little anymore, he's growing up actually, like he's almost a teenager, so he really sees what's going on around himself. Is he also a reflection partly of you, or did you say like, no, I want this kid
to be different? No. He has the same haircut, I show him some pictures of me at his age. I mean, no. I was assuming that, and then I remember talking to him about my memories, and then talking to him about what I like, what I didn't like, what I was thinking about, the way that because I think I understand anything at that time. I mean, there was not like, I don't know what my mother is going on. No, I knew exactly what she was doing. I didn't have all the whole context, but I knew that what kind of activity she was doing. So that really helps me, I think, to understand that characters, and then also to feed the actors with the images.
And now that you involved yourself so strongly in this historic subject, do you already have plans for new movies?
Yeah, I haven't decided yet what I am really going to do, because at the same time, I live in Belgium for so many years, since 1906. So I would like to make like a French-speaking movie in Brussels, but it's taking place in Brussels, you know. And then also, I think that, which is difficult with the industry, is that when you make a film, this is why I think also going from Nuestras Madres to Mexico, it's important for me, because Nuestras Madres is a very, it's a film with non-professional actors, in a very documentary way, and I think going to Mexico with an action scene, with actors and with professional actors and everything, it's important. So the problem with the industry is that put you in the box. So I don't want to be the Guatemalan director that can only make movies with non-professional actors, you know?
You don't just want to be the naturalist guy, you also want to be the cinematic guy.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to allow myself to tell other kind of stories. I want to allow myself to work with actors in French, in Brussels, and then just to explore. I mean, I will explore the same themes, like the motherhood and the fatherhood, the mother and son relationship, father and son relationship. I will stay in the same themes, but I will like to make a movie here also.
And you are now here in Locarno, and already with your second picture, you are at one of the biggest international film festivals, even in competition. So how does that feel for you to be here?
It's reassuring, actually, because being a filmmaker, it's not easy, because sometimes you doubt it yourself, and then you say that I am good enough, the film is good enough, you know. So being in Locarno, being in the Casa Grande, and then also sharing the film with the audience, which is for me, it's the main objective, you know. It's important. It's very important. And then I hope that will allow me to build like a real career, and then just to keep doing movies, which is what I like.
We definitely hope you do. So what would be your wish for the audience to take away from that movie firsthand?
What do you say?
What would be your biggest wish for the audience, what they take away from the movie?
That they ask themselves about their engagement, about the transformation of societies and the price to pay to really transform our countries. That will be the main, for me, the main thing that they will take out from the movie.
That's definitely a great idealistic goal. Mexico 86 is now running in Locarno. I'm sure it's gonna get a German release. If it does, you read about it or hear about it at Movie Break. I say thank you to Cesar Diaz for this great interview.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with the Leopards.
Thank you very much.